In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Wanted to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, a very familiar verse that tells us, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." Well, just the last in the last couple of days, we had the National Football League draft. It goes in rounds, and it's a big ordeal as guys are, you know, getting ready to hear their name called. And some were projected to go higher than they actually did. One of those guys was Quinn Ewers, the quarterback of the Texas Longhorns. Quinn Ewers led the Longhorns to the Final Four, so to speak, in football for the last 2 years. And he was almost the last pick in the draft. He was in the seventh round and dropped and dropped and dropped, the last quarterback picked, even though he had a stellar college career. And so one of the things that really struck me about Quinn Ewers was he had one more year of eligibility left. He could have jumped ship, left the Longhorns because of Arch Manning coming up behind him. It was his time to assume the reins of the position of quarterback for the team. But Quinn could have gone to another team and made as much as what some are saying, $8 million for one season. He's a seventh-round draft pick of the Miami Dolphins, and he's probably not going to get, you know, anywhere near that kind of money, maybe a tenth of that money, if he makes it at all in the NFL. And it's kind of shocking. We have people that today are very upset that athletes are just going after the money with all this NIL college money, and then Quinn Ewers turns that down to pursue his dream to be a pro quarterback, and people are calling him a fool. I ran across this interview that was done on Josh Pate's program talking about this very issue.
Is it not funny to anyone other than me that you got this group of casual fans that scream at kids when they chase a bag in college football, and that same crowd's criticizing Quinn Ewers for turning down a bag to chase his dream? What exactly are you wanting guys to do? They chase the bag in college, and shame on them. And then you got one that says, $4 million, huh? No, I think I'll go chase my dream. I want to be an NFL player. And you know what? If I go in the sixth or seventh round, that's okay. I just want a shot. All due respect, thank you for your time. I'm going to turn down the money. What an idiot! Might I use the L word here? I don't think anyone knows where I'm going. Jesse and Colin, do you know where I'm going? No one knows. No one knows. Legacy. Legacy matters. You've always taken it for granted because up until about 10 minutes ago, guys began and played and finished their career at one school. But that's becoming less and less of a norm, especially at his position. Do you know over the next 30 years, how much it's worth to Quinn Ewers on the speaking circuit, at public events and functions, to be able to market himself as a legacy former Texas quarterback and nothing else, just Texas quarterback? Because maybe not in 1 year, but over several years, that's worth a whole heck of a lot more than $4 million. And if you don't believe me, you don't know much about the state of Texas, that Longhorn brand, that position, and what it means to be able to market yourself accordingly. He's just Quinn Ewers, former Texas quarterback, and folks appreciate that, especially that those deeper pockets which tend to be your older crowd. They appreciate that stuff, and they always will, and they should.
Well, Quinn Ewers didn't chase the money, and he chased his dream. And so here to discuss that, because that is something that is rare in today's world of sports, especially with college football players. Here to discuss it with me is my friend, Coach Scott Surratt, the legendary high school football coach. He has the record number of wins, 10 state championships, and only 8 playoff losses, cementing his reputation as one of the most accomplished coaches in Texas high school football history. And as one man said, his strategic brilliance, ability to develop talent, and deep connection with his players have made him a beloved and respected leader in the Carthage community and beyond. So, Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Appreciate you asking me on, man. It's always good to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate you, and when I think of anything related to football, I think of you, and especially as it relates to the Texas Longhorns, because you're a big Texas Longhorns fan. And so, Scott, I wanted to ask you, why do you think Ewers was drafted in the 7th round, almost at the very, very end? Why did his stock drop so drastically?
Well, I think a lot of it, Jeff, had a lot to do with injuries. You know, he battled with some injuries, and he missed, games each year. I think each of the last 3 years with a shoulder, and then his midsection, and it didn't stay healthy all the time. And a lot of times you project those guys to maybe stay injured at the next level because it doesn't do much and gets faster and more physical and. That's probably the main reason, in my opinion, because he's a great leader. First of all, I respect the heck out of him. Anytime he gets on, he's always he gets interviewed. He's the first thing he'll say. He talks about he's a follower of Christ. And, he's the only guy that's been in the Final Four, only quarterback's been in the Final Four the last 2 years in the program. So I respect the heck out of him. But I would say it's mainly because of him being injured.
Coach, did you agree with that commentator, Josh Pate, about the legacy to Quinn Ewers being a Longhorn for life is worth a lot more than jumping ship playing 1 year for Oregon or Miami or whoever it was going to be for $6 million or whatever? Do you think that's a lot more important to him?
Absolutely. I mean, a Longhorn for life and the relationships he made there, and then and he mentioned he'll be able to speak at Texas, or he may come back and work for Texas. And if you go somewhere else, those opportunities may go away. But just to be a Longhorn for life, I know he went up to Ohio State for a semester, but that was, I believe, because of coaching deal. And then they got Coach Sark in there. And, I mean, I'm kind of same way. I'm a very loyal guy, and this is my first head coaching at Carthage. And, when success comes, opportunities, just like Quinn had. I want to retire a Carthage Bulldog, and he wanted his last snap in college football to be a Longhorn. And there isn't nothing getting better. It don't get better than that, in my opinion. I'm a big Longhorn fan. But the Longhorn Nation will take care of him forever.
Coach, what would have happened if Quinn had said to Sark, hey, I want to stay another season?
That was pretty tricky. I think he knew his time was up at Texas for his playing. I think if he'd have stayed, he'd probably, would have probably went to a backup, because here we have Manning, and it's time for Manning to play. We'll see if he can play. I think everybody thinks he can. He's a 5-star guy and really athletic. But it was time to move on. And, he had already took him to the show, Final Four, whatever you want to call it, the last 2 years. And I think that, the Texas fans wanted to see something else, see if somebody could take them to the championship and win a national championship. And that's where that program is right now. And Sark's done a good job of getting it there. But they want to see the next level and see if he can do it. I don't think they would have just kicked him out the door, that's for sure, because Quinn is very beloved there.
Coach, what do you see taking place in college football with, as this guy talked about, the guys chasing the bag of money? I know that Tennessee got rid of their quarterback because he wanted more money, and they just said, forget it. Good for that coach. But do you see college sports being destroyed by money right now?
It is absolutely being destroyed. And, Jeff, I hear with all the recruiters coming through here, that's the name. You know, I know they're tired of answering it, but I'm going to ask it, you know, what about this crazy NIL? And every one of them call it the Wild Wild West. And it's just nuts that these kids, he said, they're not worried about anything because they get the circle around them, their people, and, you know, one of the first questions they're going to ask is how much money they're going to get paid. And not that are we going to be a good fit for the third level. They want to know what we can be, which is NFL. They want to know what they can make now. And he said, the truth of the matter, a lot of them can't play. And you don't know that until they get playing against 19-year-old or 18, 22-year-old college kids. You don't know that. And they're getting paid a lot of money and they can't play. And obviously a lot of them can. But it's just destroyed athletics, and they got to get a hold on. They got to, you know, if you want to pay them, it's got to be some kind of scale. I mean, these guys that just come out of high school, playing high school kids, are sometimes making way more money than the guys that are already on the team that are very established, All-Americans. And that don't make any sense. But that's how they have to pay them to get them there now. And that's just, they're going to have to put some kind of cap on something.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I was saying to somebody, Scott, that if Arch Manning had declared for the draft in 2025, having only played, a couple of games in college, he would have probably been a second-round pick.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think he'd probably gone number one. I mean, the way his... you know, because they don't see very many bad plays from him yet. That's that, you know, and coming out of high school being a perfect rating or whatever, and you know, I think he'd be right up there. And the only way he can, you know, go down, in my opinion, is play himself down, and or deal with some injuries or things like that, because he's so talented. And now he's got to play, and now it's like, okay, can he play? And we all think he can, that's for sure, but you never know until you get behind the center. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, in my opinion, to be able to read defenses and do everything that Sark does offensively, be able to, you know, handle everything, the motions, the shifts, and then the play call, and then the shot clock, and then I got to see the defense. Are they blitzing? Is a corner blitzing the safety or the linebacker or whatever? And I've got to recognize, and then I've got to be able to get the ball out. And I think that was probably the biggest deal, the reason Sanders went down. You know, I know I read some things, some interview things, but is he took 60-something sacks, and that's not getting the ball out. And so you got to get the ball out at the NFL, or it's not going to be good.
Yeah, well, I think that was a knock on Quinn Ewers also, is that he took a lot of sacks. He just seems so much of a statue back there. Whereas, you know, when we played Arizona State, that quarterback was hard to sack because he's moving all around. Arch is going to be hard to sack, I think, because he's got wheels. But let me ask you this question, Coach Surratt, before we hit the break. A guy like Tim Tebow, who is all world as a college quarterback, won two national championships, won a Heisman Trophy. He can't make it in the pros. What makes the pros so different, where a guy can be so good in college and not make it in the pros?
Well, it's the best of the best, and the speed, you know, is just incredible. You got defensive ends running 4.4, 4.5s now, and they're 270 pounds, and you know, linebackers running 4.4s, and then the back end are running 4.3s, 4.4s, and you know, that's all they do. All these defensive coordinators is, you know, they're coming up with blitz packages you got to be able to handle, and some of them can and some of them can't, and they just, it's just the speed of the game is just incredible. And you think there's no brainers, and then you see them, they don't ever get to play, and they may be backups for 7-8 years, and they're gone and out of the league. But It just takes special, special people. And not the most talented. Tom Brady, definitely not the most talented. He's the best to ever live, but he wasn't the most talented quarterback for sure. But what he could do was see the game happening before the snap.
Yeah.
And then when the snap was, he got the ball out. He took care of his linemen, and he is not wasn't very athletic
right.
for his running and all that, but that's not what it takes.
Well, thank you, Scott Surratt. Scott, we're out of time, but thanks so much for being my guest today, and we wish you all the best as you look for state championship number 11, and we'll be right back on Real Truth for Today.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. You can watch online at Facebook or on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in American Family Radio and we'll come up. So I appreciate Coach Scott Surratt so much. He's been a good friend for many, many years and a godly man, a wonderful family, and an unbelievable football coach. He is a Texas high school football coach legend. People compare him to Nick Saban in the college game. That's Coach Scott Surratt. Carthage, Texas is not a big place, and Scott has built a powerhouse there. 10 state championships, only 8 playoff losses. He's undefeated in state championship games. What a great coach and a great guy, and he won it last year with his son Jet as the quarterback, and he's got one more year with Jet, and they're looking forward to hopefully another state championship, and a big Texas Longhorns fan as I am, and have been disappointed. We've gotten pretty far and done well, but hadn't been able to get over the hump in quite a while, so we'll see what happens in 2025 with Arch Manning. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit. Today marks the 100th day of President Trump in office. And, he is a lightning rod. People love President Trump or they seem to hate President Trump. I don't think we've ever had a person in politics that has been more hated than Donald Trump by those who hate him. It's just, there's not a lot of in between with him. You either are saying, hey, I'm on board with what he does. I may not like some of the things he says and some of the ways he says it, but I'm on board with how he's leading our country. You know, Trump campaigned with, these are the things I'm going to do. He's very open, very upfront. And I'm going to secure the border, and I'm going to have Elon Musk involved with the Department of Government Efficiency, and we're going to audit all the departments, and we're going to go after waste, fraud, and abuse. We're going to return our country to law and order. We're going to return our country to moral sanity. There are only two genders, as everyone should know. It's very, very obvious from scripture, from common sense, from biology. Little kids know the difference between girls and boys. And he's going to return our country, he said, there's a campaigned on this, to a place of accountability. And so we're putting the blindfold back on Lady Justice. If you, as we shared yesterday, even if you're a sitting judge, if you are aiding and abetting crime and criminals and trying to keep illegal aliens away from ICE agents, you can't do that. That's a crime. And so they're going to prosecute you. And, no one is above the law, as we heard over and over and over again just, a year or so ago. But now we're hearing, how dare President Trump arrested a judge. That's wrong. Well, it's not wrong if no one's above the law, and this person broke the law. Well, Sean Hannity was talking about what is going on in the Democrat Party. The party that's their favorability rating is in the 20s, and they hate Donald Trump. I mean, hate Donald Trump. And whatever Trump says, as you've heard me say before, speaking hyperbolic for sure, but if Trump said he was for water and for breathing air, somehow that would be a terrible thing. The other side would be against it. I mean, it's that ridiculous. Well, this is what Sean Hannity had to say regarding Donald Trump and the folks that hate him.
The highest-ranking Democratic member of the House said, quote, "There are but two parties in America right now, patriots and traitors. Which party am I a part of? I'd like to be a patriot." But wait, it gets worse. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has big dreams of one day becoming president. By the way, he'll be about as lucky as Gavin Newsom. And over the weekend in New Hampshire, the governor all but threatened half the country with violence. Take a look.
"Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box."
Not a moment's of peace, none. Can we point out the obvious here? Democratic Party is not Democratic at all. After losing an election to President Trump, after he was shot and survived two assassination attempts, two would-be assassins, Democrats have since invoked a civil war. They have called for chaos. They have encouraged their followers to riot, applauded acts of violence and, frankly, domestic terrorism against Teslas, their owners. Low-level, far-left judges have also waged an unprecedented level of lawfare against our Constitution, the executive rights that are endowed to a duly elected president and the Trump agenda. And of course, Democrats, they have already filed impeachment articles against the president.
Impeachment articles against the president. The man that brought that forth said, "Donald Trump," this is a quote, "Donald Trump has repeatedly demonstrated that he is unfit to serve as president and represents a clear and present danger to our nation's constitution and our democracy." Well, that just doesn't seem like we're looking at the same results. We're watching the same things unfold, and one person, all they can see is negative, 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 negative. And those who said, hey, this is what he campaigned on, and this is what he's attempting to do, is he doing it perfectly? Well, no. Does anyone do his job with 100%? Perfection? No, you're imperfect. I'm imperfect. We're imperfect. But he's doing the things and going about doing the things that he said he was going to do. Now, I have heard from different ones saying, oh, there's so many people that have buyer's remorse. So many people who voted for Trump that wish they hadn't. Well, CNN did a poll. I shared that, I think it was last week, that showed very little. People have buyer's remorse. 1-2% of people said, yeah, I would vote differently if I were voting today. And the same for those that voted for Kamala Harris. They'd say, yeah, I'd still vote for her. So very little change. Not very many people are having buyer's remorse based on the polls that people have done. But this idea that we need to impeach Donald Trump, that we can't let those who voted for him, we can't let Republicans know a moment of peace. I mean, that is language that should cause everybody to have a big red flag come up and say something's wrong with that. Now, that makes me think of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says this, beginning in verse 1, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority." We don't have a king. They did in Paul's day. Pray for the king. Pray for Nero. He was king. That guy was a psycho. But pray for him. "For kings and all who are in authority." We have a president and we have a cabinet and we have senators and congressmen and justices. And we pray for those people who are in authority. For what purpose? "In order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." Now, this idea, when somebody's trying to rally you so that people cannot know a moment of peace, that is not from the Lord, obviously. I mean, it's just plain as the nose on your face. It's obvious that's not from the Lord. You know, violent protests. Who's the violent protester? The devil. He's a rebel. He's a rebel at heart. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals has on the dedication page the a shout out to the number one rebel, and that is Satan. As he led a revolt, he wasn't Satan in heaven, he was Lucifer, but he became Satan when he led a revolt against God. He's very persuasive. He took a third of the angels with him, and they came up against God, and God cast them down. And Lucifer, the star of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night. But that is just language that should cause everybody to perk up and say, something is unhinged, something is terribly wrong when you're encouraging people to harass others so that they don't know a moment of peace. Listen, we live in not the United States of America, but the divided states of America. And as Hakeem Jeffries said, you know, there are patriots and then there are whatever you call them. You know, they're good guys and bad guys, basically. And if you can't see the difference between who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, you know, solid food, Hebrews 5:14, I go back to that verse a lot. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You're able to look at a situation and you're saying, okay, which one is moving in the direction that is good, that is moral, that is right, that is just, and which one is moving in the direction that is not those things? So which one is moving in the direction of evil, things that will tear down, not things that will build up? And when you see the attacks on Tesla, you know, burning the cars and keying the cars and attacking the dealerships, who's ever doing that is being influenced by the evil one who comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so we need to be able to recognize that very quickly. And listen, in government, you're dealing with people who are flawed people, people who are sinners, and many of them not believers. You know, even if everyone in government was a believer, a sold-out believer, you still are going to have conflict because we still, as believers, battle the flesh. Think about your marriage. If you're married as a Christian, you're married, you're a believer, your spouse is a believer. Do you ever have conflict? Of course you do. I love the definition, best definition I've ever heard of conflict, two people. And you put two people together and you're going to have conflict. And people aren't going to always see everything the same. And there can be disagreements and people don't do everything right. People are flawed. But the ability to see this is the right direction, this is the wrong direction. If we can't see that in America, I mean, we're in terrible, terrible trouble. So we need to pray because the enemy is at work. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, The Devil's Newsroom, muting Satan's fake news and tuning into God's truth. How do you expose the lies of the enemy? You expose them through the Word of God. What does the Bible say about these things? And the Bible has much to say about the issues of our day. You know, I mean, people are up in arms over President Trump saying there are only two genders. They're up in arms over President Trump saying we're going to keep biological males out of women's sports. And if you keep pushing that, Maine and some other places, we're going to, you know, defund you. We're not going to support that because here this is the train. We're getting on the truth train, and we're going to start protecting women and protecting women's sports, and so no biological males can play in women's sports. Oh, people are up in arms about that. Now, it's a few people, because that is a losing issue for the Democrats, as many have pointed out. You're not going to win with that because 75-80% of the country believes that biological males shouldn't play in female sports. I mean, it's so obvious. It's such a no-brainer that it's just shocking that anybody would be fighting that basic truth. But then the situation with Kilmar, Abrego, Garcia, and those that are saying he needs to be brought home. He's from El Salvador. He is home. He's an illegal alien. He's been in front of all these courts. You know, where do you bring him? As Marco Rubio so aptly said, if we brought him back from El Salvador, he wouldn't come to America. We could bring him from El Salvador and then send him someplace else. Colombia? I don't know where you'd send him. Some other South American country that would take him. But that country is not going to just let him go free. It's pretty obvious, based on all the evidence, that guy is a gang member and has committed some terrible, horrible crimes. And so you say, well, where's the evidence for that? Well, I'll let you look that up. But if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, chances are you can be rest assured that that's a duck. And that guy has all the circumstantial evidence that says you don't want him to live next door to you. Well, I want to pose this question as we get ready to hit a break and go to the phones when we come back. And here's the question. So we're at the 100-day mark of Trump's presidency. Are you pleased or displeased? Do you have buyer's remorse, or are you saying, that's what I voted for? I'd love to hear from you regarding that question. And then if you can tell me why are you pleased or why are you displeased? The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. So if you'd like to sound off on that question, are you pleased or displeased? It's been 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency. I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after the break. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about Trump's 100 days. Today marks his 100th day in office. And the question is, are you pleased or displeased with the job he is doing? Granted, he's not done a perfect job. You wouldn't, I wouldn't, we wouldn't. There's nobody on the planet that would. The only perfect person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came, we nailed him to a tree. So what does that say about us? But I'd love to hear your answer to that question. And then why? Why are you pleased or why are you displeased? The number to call is 888-589-8840. And the phone lines are lighting up. So let's go to Tabitha in Oklahoma. Tabitha, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would have to say I am a Trump supporter 100%. I agree with everything that he has done. He may not be perfect, as was said before, but he is the one that will bring us back to our core, what we need.
Yes. Okay, so Tabitha, let me ask you this. What is one thing that you really like that he's doing and one thing maybe that you wish he hadn't done? Because nobody bats a thousand.
Right. I do like the fact that he's shutting down the borders, the immigration issue. Where there is everywhere in the United States, there is a lot of homeless and there's a lot of crime, and a lot of them have to do with illegals. I also agree with the fact of if you are male, you do not play in male sports. If you're a biological male.
In female sports, yes.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. Church needs to be brought back more. Some of the things that he has done that, you know, a lot of times Donald Trump will spout off at the mouth. Sometimes, you know, we all do it. We speak before we think. And, you know, he is good at doing that, but he's also been great at doing what he does.
So, yes,
I am very pleased.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tabitha. I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you sharing. We have Lori on the line from Iowa. Lori, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, and thank you for taking my call. I am totally in agreement with the tariffs. I have felt for a long time that America has been totally ripped off, and I don't know why we feel that we have to support and enhance the rest of the world who hate us. I'm also very happy with the immigration policy, the deportation. I'm a first generation American, and they came here legally, and I feel that you should come to America legally. And they never got any benefits. My dad started a business and learned English, and they didn't have welfare or anything like that. So
yeah.
I'm in favor of that. What I don't like is I think he needs, President Trump needs to use some wisdom in selecting the judges, because Amy Coney Barrett certainly turned out to be a bait and switch.
Yes, so, I can see your frustration there. So where are your parents from, Lori?
Russia.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, hats off to them coming in the right way and then working hard. You know, I think that, you know, we've always called America the land of opportunity. It has become the land of handouts, which is it's not good for anybody. You know, the expression that I heard years ago is so true. You know, we are to help those who can't work, not those who won't work. And if you make everything easy for a person and get them to a place where you reward them for slothfulness, that's not a good thing. That doesn't help them. That doesn't help the country. That is not a fair system. So people who can't work or unable because of disabilities or whatever, we are to help those people. We want to help those people. But the Bible makes it clear in 2 Thessalonians, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Let his hunger motivate him to get out there and do it. So I appreciate you calling in, Lori, and God bless you. And thanks for listening to the program. Well, we have Gwen on the line from Texas. Gwen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you. I listen to you every day.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I really like Trump. I love everything that he's done. Immigration, I am so glad that he's coming down on immigration. The clearing out of the education, you know, getting the fat, you know, trimmed up in the cabinets and everything. I am so for that, getting education back to basics, I hope, you know. When he was campaigning, he campaigned and he kept his word and he's keeping his word. And what he says, he does, if at all possible. And I think that's great. The Gulf of Mexico to a Gulf of America, that wasn't a big thing. And I'm not too sure if I approve about the Canada thing.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't really delved into it, but on the face of it, I'm thinking that's kind of, I'm not really for that.
Yeah, I think It seems like some of the things Trump does are just to, you know, poke at the left, and it's just like, I know this is going to drive them nuts. And so he like the Gulf of America, you know, I mean, that wouldn't have crossed my mind to change the name of that. But, you know, there's a method to his madness. And people who like to say Donald Trump's an idiot and all those things, I mean, somebody was saying, was it AOC or somebody on the left said, you know, Elon Musk is not very smart. And, you know, AOC did call him a billionaire con man. It's like, you know, that guy sends rockets out to rescue stranded astronauts. He's to say that he's not very smart or a billionaire con man is just a really ridiculous statement. And so I think that Donald Trump, Gwen, he's taking on the swamp for sure. And he was talking about draining the swamp in his first presidency, but I don't think he understood the swamp like he does now. And he is going after the swamp, and the swamp creatures are vocal. They are screaming. That's why we played that clip about the governor saying, hey, give them no rest. They cannot know a moment of peace. You know, we need to be vocal. We need to be out there. We need to be protesting. Now, they come short of saying we need to be destroying property and burning Teslas and you know, beating people. But they're rallying the base to do those things in terms of, well, what does that mean? Don't give people a moment of peace. Well, just come after them and come after them and come after them. That should alert every American that whatever they're selling, whatever that side is doing, that is wrong. And we can't be a part of that. So I appreciate you calling in, Gwen. God bless you. We have Steve on the line from Oklahoma. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I don't want to repeat what everybody else has said on the show. I agree with it. You know, there's one thing that where I would say the president has exceeded my expectations. You know, a few weeks ago, my wife and I came home from work. We were watching Bret Baier on Fox News, and he had Elon Musk's team there, and he was doing this exclusive interview. Mm-hmm. And we were just so impressed by the quality of these people that Elon Musk had going through these different agencies. And, you know, I was telling my wife, I remember back in the 1980s in Oklahoma, we had U.S. Senator Tom Coburn. And, you know, he was a guy that would talk about government waste and fraud and abuse. And, you know, he'd get people clapping hands for him, you know, and, you know, it all sounded good, but nothing ever got done.
Right.
And to see what's happening here with Doge, it's just beyond expectations. I just, every time I can hear an update on Doge, I just love it because I believe I'm in the financial services business, and I believe Musk is right. We're on a cliff, $37 right. trillion. We can't keep kicking this can down the road, and Trump's proven that somebody like him has to be in office who's a non-politician to get the job done.
Right. Yeah, great point, Steve. And Trump's willing to take the hits. He's willing to let the media just excoriate him. You know, he's an anomaly, in my opinion, because in some ways he has such thick skin, and in other ways he has very thin skin, but I don't know anybody that can, like a Timex watch, can take a licking and keep on ticking like Donald Trump does. He's just he's such an example of perseverance and to keep going and keep doing what's right, no matter what people say about you, no matter what they do to try and destroy you or derail you. You keep going and keep doing what you believe is the right thing to do. And I think that Donald Trump loves America. He's trying to right the ship. Elon Musk has joined him in that, along with others that are part of the cabinet. But hats off to him, and we need to be praying for him because he's got a lot on him and so many people that would truly love to see him die, and so we need to be praying for him. So thanks, Steve, for calling in. We have Roger on the line from Arkansas. Roger, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Brother Jeb.
Yes, sir.
My comment is this world is turning to instant. We got instant coffee, instant pudding, instant potatoes, instant this, instant gratification. It took Biden 4 years to put us in the toilet. And we expect Trump to bring us back out in weeks.
Right.
It's going to take years to straighten that, all that mess out.
Right.
And he's trying. I know he's got times that he says things are stupid, but he's a brilliant man, and I think he's heading our country in the right direction. And people need to wake up and see the smell of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we smell garlic too long.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, if you're $36 trillion in debt, you didn't get there in 1 year. So I tell people this a lot in counseling. Hey, where you are right now in your marriage, you didn't get there overnight. You don't get better overnight. But what you can do is start moving in the right direction overnight. And I think that's what President Trump has done. He's moving America in the right direction. And people don't like it because it disrupts the apple cart and it disrupts the system that they have been used to for so long. And as Elon Musk has said, hey, you know, when you start exposing waste, fraud, and abuse, the fraudsters are going to start screaming because you're cutting off their money supply. And we're seeing a lot of that. There are those that disagree, but I think Doge overall has done a great job and continues to do a great job along with President Trump. So, Roger, thank you for calling in. Good points that you made. I appreciate it, my friend. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Yes, I love that quote. We better wake up and smell the flowers.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, Father God, He's on his throne, but he's not draped in American flag. And I think I hate to be that person this morning, Pastor Jeff, but I'm telling you what, I know we've always heard, I know we have in the past, the Middle East is a powder keg. I tell you what, America's a powder keg right now. And, you know, that last presidential address President Trump gave, you know, the Democrats wouldn't stand for the kid that they've overcome cancer and this and that. And but they'll stand for illegal immigrants.
Right.
And they'll
travel to El Salvador to lobby on his behalf. It's unbelievable and it's sickening.
Yes, it is. It really is. We need to be on our knees praying, brother. We love y'all and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Greg. God bless you. We have David on the line from Alabama. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Doing great, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good. So are you pleased or displeased? First,
very pleased. Love the name of your radio show, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
And so, anyway, excellent. You got to remember, he has got to go against 90% of wrong information on the media day in and day out.
Yes.
You know? And no matter whatever he does, it's going to be reported as bad.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. He made that clear when he addressed both houses of Congress, and he said, you know, there's nothing I can say, there's nothing I can do that would cause you to like it, that would cause you to clap, that would cause you to support. That's why, you know, just in hyperbole said, if Trump said air is good, you need to breathe air, and water is good, you need to drink water, the Democrats would be against it because they're against everything that comes out of his mouth. So I appreciate you calling in, David. Steve, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for calling in. For all our callers, we appreciate it so much. And for all our listeners, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. We try and do a good job in getting you the truth and helping you see life and circumstances from a biblical perspective. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.